Hello everyone, welcome to episode 49 of season 1 Reading with Grace, where we will continue reading the Unwanted's Island of Legends. Today we will be picking up from chapter 42, but first a recap of chapters 39 through 41. Lonnie and Henry went inside Pirate Island to see if they could somehow find copper, but they took so long that the island began to tremble and eventually sank below the surface with the Haluki children trapped inside. Alex also saw that the eel had captured Spike Furious in the underwater aquarium. Alex decided to make two teams for rescue, one for copper and one for the trapped sea creatures, now including Florence, Spike Furious, and Miss Octavia. Alex, Scene, and Karina managed to find a way into the underwater aquarium, but it was only through the shock of the eel, so Alex came up with another plan for Simba to try and smash through the glass instead. That's the end of the summary. Enjoy the episode! Half over. When Alex made it back to the glass cage, he found Karina and Scene struggling with the door mechanism, trying in vain to make it do something. Scene cast one spell after another at it, but nothing worked. Alex went straight up to the glass and began pounding again, hoping to get Spike's attention. Spike turned to look at it and swam over to Alex. "We're going to smash the glass," Alex said, trying not to use up too much air. He pointed to the south side of the cage. "That wall! Move away! Tell them!" Alex pointed to the other trapped creatures. The whale looked startled for a moment, and then she went up to the long-necked sea creature and seemed to converse with it. The sea monster moved to the north side of the cage. Then Spike approached the giant squid. After a bit of hesitation, the squid looked at Alex and shot to the opposite corner from where he'd been, nursing his injured limb. Then Spike pushed Miss Octavia's floating body to the back corner as well, near the squid. The Octagator seemed to move a tentacle or two, Alex thought, but he wasn't sure. The squid reached out and cradled Miss Octavia with one tentacle to keep her from floating away. Alex pointed out the act of kindness to Karina, who gave a sweet crooked smile at the sight of it. Then Spike swam to the bottom of the cage and began poking Florence's shoulder with her spike, trying to tell the statue to move. Alex watched. The whale poked Florence again and again, but Florence didn't budge. Alex pounded on the glass. "Tell her Simba is coming!" If anything would do it, it would be that, he was sure. The whale seemed to understand, and just as Alex caught sight of Simba torpedoing through the water toward them, he thought he saw Florence open one eye, but he couldn't be certain. "Look out!" Alex yelled, not sure how far his words would carry in the depths of the watery world. But Scene and Karina heard, and so did the whale. Scene, Karina, and Alex pushed away from the glass as fast as they could, and everyone inside flattened against the north wall. When the squid saw what was coming toward him, he wrapped his enormous body around his strange-looking prison mates, shielding them just in time. Simba hit the glass at full speed and broke through. The impact shook the entire underwater island. It was like an explosion. Alex covered his face as giant chunks of glass flew in slow motion through the water, and Simba came to rest on the floor of the cage, like a perfect fire-breathing origami dragon coming in for a landing. Scene and Karina closed in, waiting for the debris to stop flying. Alex joined them. Inside the reverse aquarium, there was a sudden flurry of movement, enough to make Alex look over. There, pirates began running about, pounding on the walls, trying to pull the seas out so they could secure themselves. At first, Alex didn't understand what they were doing, but then he realized that they thought the tremor was a signal from the volcano, that it was about to move again. When no seats dropped into Palis, chaos broke out. People began running every which way, trying to find a place to strap themselves in for the ride, but to no avail. It was during this that Alex saw the tiniest movement from within the glass island, a little white dot jumping up and down, waving her little paws. Alex could see her pink tongue, and she no doubt cried out, "Mew, mew, mew!" Alex poked Scene with his elbow. "Kitten!" he mouthed. They watched as Kitten ran away from them, straight toward the fishing hatch. Alex looked at Simba, who had gotten to his feet by now, though slowly. "Okay, get the creatures out," Alex mimed. "I go get Kitten." Scene and Karina nodded. They went around the hole and inside the cage. Scene darted up, grabbed Miss Octavia, and headed to the surface, while Karina spoke to Spike the way Alex had, telling Spike to tell the sea monster and the giant squid and the other creatures to escape. While Alex swam toward the fishing hatch, the sea monster and squid darted out at Spike's urging and headed west. The last thing Alex saw was Karina, hopping onto Spike's back and riding toward the sky. Alex rounded the glass island, running too low on oxygen, he could tell. His lungs burned. His eyesight dimmed. He pressed the door to the fishing hatch, and when it slid open, he moved into the box of water, then pressed the second button and fell into the island, gasping for breath. There was so much chaos inside, nobody even noticed him. Except Kitten, of course. "Mew, mew, mew," she cried. "Mew, mew, mew." Alex didn't have a clue what she was saying. "Show me," he said when he could catch his breath. Kitten pranced through the chaos with a soaking wet Alex on her heels. He dodged and weaved, keeping his arms near his face so he wouldn't be noticed. An alarm sounded, and pirates everywhere becoming hysterical, trying to find safety seats before their sickening ride upward. If Alex hadn't been so overwhelmed with everything else, he might have thought this was the most inconvenient and annoying island he'd ever seen. He never wanted to see it again. Kitten darted down the spiral staircase, jumping from one step to the next, and racing up a hallway past a few panicked people wearing the brown uniforms of slaves. Kitten stopped at a door. "Mew, mew, mew," she cried, throwing herself at it. Alex grabbed the handle and pushed open the door. He nearly fell inside when he saw the scene before him. Fear Replanted. It didn't take long for Aaron and his new governors to make up a variety of atrocities to pin on the unsuspecting people of Artemis, painting them as a looming threat to the people of Quill. Aaron worked and reworked his speech, knowing he needed to be alarming, yet appear totally in control, and also instill trust in his new team of leaders, so that when Aaron wasn't around, the Quilliams would listen to the governors. When it came time to address the people, Aaron, his three new inductees, and secretary, of course, rode to the Commons of Quill, arriving just slightly late, as Justine would have done. Aaron knew it was the little, consistent details that proved to gain the trust of people of Quill. Being late was one of them. Flanked by guards and wearing one of Justine's robes, Aaron stepped out of his car, followed by secretary. The crowd in the amphitheater murmured and then was quiet. The next car pulled up, and Gondolieri, Liam, and Strang got out. Aaron nodded to them and began walking toward the amphitheater. They followed. When the High Priest approached the podium, he didn't smile or frowned. He looked over the crowd. The Wanted stood in front as usual. Behind them were the Necessaries in their assigned spots. And beyond the Necessaries were a small group of tattered-looking Unwanteds, who had come crying into Quill when Artemis disappeared. Aaron had quickly turned them into slaves. The High Priest narrowed his eyes in their direction, seeing a boy who had been in his own class at school. Cole Wicket, standing there. He wondered how Cole was liking the little deal the High Priest had made with the returning Unwanteds. Not that he cared. As usual, Aaron's eyes sought and found the spot where his parents always stood. The sun beat down on them now. The last time Aaron had seen his parents, his mother was very pregnant. Now his mother and father each held a baby girl with dark brown ringlets. One of the girls squirmed, while the other sat pacified, looking in Aaron's direction. Aaron frowned and looked away. It was strange to know he had sisters. Identical twins once more. When all was silent and the governor stood behind him, Aaron focused on a very different spot in the crowd and began his address. "People of Quill, I come with news," he began. "As your high priest, I must tell you that our neighbors in Artemis are plotting to attack us." He let the words sink in and the murmurs die down. "We don't know how or when, but we do know that they have been plotting this for some time. They wish to take over Quill, get rid of us, and expand their hideous world, and..." He paused for effect. "They are using you to do it." Again, Aaron waited in the thick silence. "Those of you who have been visiting Artemis or accepting unwanted visitors in your homes here in Quill, you are our wink link. I am asking you to cease these visits immediately, without letting on to Artemis that we know about their plans. If we tip them off, they may change tactics and put us into more danger. As it stands now, there is nothing to fear in the near future. We are watching them very closely, but we can also use your help." Aaron flicked away a bead of sweat that dripped down his cheek. "In addition to ceasing your contact with Artemis, I'm asking each of you to watch your neighbors and make sure they are not sneaking off to visit the Unwanteds, or inviting them into Quill. If you suspect something is making contact with people of Artemis, please come to the palace with your information, and you will be rewarded with favorite farm food for your efforts to make Quill a safer place to live. In addition, I've appointed 3 new governors to help protect you and serve our land." Aaron stepped aside to point them out. "Liam Healy, Gondolieri Rattrap, and Septimus Strang." The governors bowed their names, were called. Aaron continued. "They are your advocates, and together we are working tirelessly to eliminate the threat from outside our walls. We will not let the people of Artemis try and control us. We will not let the Unwanteds take over an inch of our world. People of Quill, we must come together for the sake of our land and our traditions. We need to act as one body in opposition to the enemy, who is out to destroy us. And together, we will become a stronger society, eliminating once and for all the enemy that has plagued us since they killed our beloved High Priest Justine. Aaron pressed his lips together and leaned forward. People of Quill, vow with me now to work only for the best interests of our land. He paused for the effect, and then, with a flourish, said, May Quill prevail with all we have in us. The people gathered there did not cheer, but if they looked deep within their hearts, almost everyone present could feel something strange welling up inside them, something that felt like angry and loyalty and courage. They used the courage to beat down the anger, saving it for another day and knowing instinctively that they would need a large surprise when the time came. Aaron stepped back, spent. The seeds were sown. The reaction was exactly as he had wished it to be. He sent the three new governors out into the crowd to greet the Wanteds. They would be the temporary face of the palace. For a short time, anyway. Long enough for Aaron to build and grow his secret weapons. And then all matter of war would be released alongside the collected anger of the people of Quill, and the Unwanteds would be gone and Artemae would be his. XLIV. Just keep swimming. In the dark room on the lowest floor of Pirate Island, Skye, Sam Heat, and Crow were frantically tending to Henry, Lonnie, and Copper, who were covered in bruises and blood. Skye looked up, her breath caught. Alex, thank goodness! She waved her hand at the injured. They weren't strapped in when the island plunged, she said. They went flying! Sam Heat looked at Alex. They're all conscious now, at least. Henry was still out cold when we got here, and he's bleeding pretty badly. We'll have to sneak out in the middle of the night when we can go slowly. Alex looked at him in alarm. No, we can't wait. They know you're here. The tremor you felt wasn't the island about to go up. It was Simber breaking through the cage glass. The eel got Miss Octavia and, well, another creature, and we had to get them out or they'd die. He wiped the drips from his face with sodden shirtless sleeve. Seriously, guys, we have to go now. I don't think we should move them, Sam Heat said, his stubbornness coming out. Sam, listen. There's total chaos out there, Alex said. Nobody will be paying attention to us. We can get out safely right now. I don't have time to explain, but we have to go. We have to. When Sammy had hesitated and Skye didn't say anything to help, Alex repeated in a stern voice, Now. Sammy looked at Lonnie. She nodded and struggled to her elbows. Alex is right. If they know we're here, she said, weakly, they'll find us. Alex breathed a sigh of relief. He picked up Kitten and handed her to Crow. Sam, take Lonnie. I've got Copper. Skye, you grab Henry. Let's get out of here. Don't stop for anything. The three able bodies picked up their battered friends. Alex leapt quickly, politely, and distanced himself to Copper before he picked her up, explaining to her what his plan was. They left the room and made their way down the empty hall, then crept up the spiral stairs to where the chaos was. Sam had reached the top first and waited for the others. Lonnie, despite her injuries, strained over the railing at the top of the steps to look inside the glass case nearby, which she had caught her eye earlier. She struggled into Sam Heat's arms to better see as they waited for the others to reach them. Ouch! What are you doing? Sam Heat whispered. Trying to see that drawing, Lonnie said, digging a knee into his ribs. Boost me up! No, Sam Heat said. Stop wriggling or I'll drop you. Lonnie frowned and wriggled more, finally getting a long look at what was inside the case. Sam Heat looked down the stairs as Skye struggled with Henry to reach them. He shifted Lonnie and held out a hand to assist Skye as Alex climbed past them to take lead with Copper. Everybody, Alex hissed, keep your heads down and push on, no matter what. Do what you have to do to get out of here. Just stay close. He set off with Skye at his heels. Lonnie settled back down in Sam Heed's arms, spent from her efforts, and Sam Heed sped after Alex and Skye. My mother can't swim, Skye reminded Alex in a low voice as they dodged a wailing child who had been separated from his parents in the confusion. How will we get her all the way to the surface? Alex twisted left and right, moving through the crowd, his heart pounding. I'm wondering the same thing about myself, he said. After two lengthy dives already today and little recovery time, he didn't have much energy left in him, and they couldn't afford to rest. Put a helmet on Skye's mother, Lonnie said, her head resting on Sammy's shoulder now. I meant to tell you, there's air inside. She'll be able to breathe. Perfect, Alex said, relieved. So that explained how the fisherman could stay out in the water so long. Copper looked slightly relieved, too, but Alex could still feel her shaking with fear. Are you going to be okay? He asked her. She nodded, unable to speak because of the thorn ornament around her neck. Okay, we're almost there. Finally, they made it to the fishing hatch. Alex spied over the suits and helmets. He grabbed a helmet and placed it over Copper's head, while Sky hit the button to the sliding door. As they made their way into the box, a shout rang out above the chaotic noise around them. Stop! Who are you? Alex looked up to find the two men and women charging toward them. They're stealing my slave, one of the men yelled. Get in quick, Alex said. They scooted inside, having to squeeze to fit all seven of them. Alex pulled Sam Heed back to the door, with clothes, just as the pirate reached the first button and slapped it, holding it open. Grab them, a pirate yelled. Without a thought, both Sam Heed and Alex pointed and shouted, Glass! Instantly, not one, but two panes of glass stopped the pirates in their tracks and walled the archmans in the chamber. Yikes, Alex said, sweating profusely now. That was close. He ignored the pirates and looked at his companions. It'll take us a few minutes to reach the surface. Can everyone handle that? Copper? He said to Sky's mother. Lonnie says your helmet has air inside. Right, Lonnie said, and it'll seal up nice and snug around your jaw so no water can get in. You'll be able to breathe normally. Alex flashed Lonnie a grateful smile. Just don't panic and we'll be fine, Copper. I promise I won't let you go. You can trust them, Mother, Crow said from Henry's side. The bandage on Henry's head had grown crimson with blood. Henry, Alex said, can you make it? Henry nodded through half-closed eyes. I got this, he said. His voice was weak. Lonnie? Yes, she replied. I'm fine, really. Copper? The woman nodded her helmeted head. Alex could feel her hands shaking as she gripped his shoulders. Alex breathed hard, trying to rebuild his depleted oxygen stores, though he wasn't sure how much oxygen was left in this little box. They had to get out of there. Let's do this, then. Here we go. Everybody, gather your breath and stay close to me. He pushed the button. The outer door opened slowly, letting water in, the pirates behind them pounding on the glass, but Alex knew there was no way they'd be able to break through. Where's Kitten? Henry asked, his eyes wide open in alarm now. I've got her, Crow said. He patted his best friend's arm as the water rose up to his chest. Here we go. Soon the water reached the top of the box, and the door slid all the way open. Everyone looked for Alex to lead them. Alex wasted no time. He floated out and pushed off the glass door frame to give him momentum in the right direction. He began kicking, and soon he and Copper were rising slowly through the water. Crow swam with Alex, holding onto his mother's hand. Sam Heed, with Lonnie wrapped in his arms, pushed upward on one of Alex's side. Sky held Henry, who was clearly the most injured of the three. Alex urged Sky to go a little faster if she was able. Soon she took the lead. Alex looked back through the murky water at the glass cage, which was nearly empty now. Only Simba and Florence were remained. Florence was standing now, but Alex wasn't sure if Simba had propped her up that way, or if she'd gotten up on her own. After a few moments, he couldn't see them any longer. Soon the entire volcano island was out of sight, and Alex could see a bright spot in the sky above. He couldn't wait to get everybody safely on board on the ship. When something flashed, Alex almost smiled. Spike! He thought. He looked around for the whale, hope surging. Maybe they could get a ride to the surface. But it wasn't Spike's faux diamond, encrusted horn catching the light. It was the electric spark of the slithery eel, and it was coming their way. Forty-five. Flashes of Light. Alex grabbed Crow's arm and pointed at the eel, then up toward the surface. Go! He said in his garbled, watery voice. Hurry! Crow's eyes widened in fear, but he always listened to Alex. He shot up through the water, swimming as fast as his little feet could kick. When Sam and Sky noticed Crow, they looked at Alex. Alex showed them the eel, which came in and out of sight. It began to circle them. Alex pointed up, urging his friends to go faster, which they did. Alex tried too, but his arms and legs burned. He had the heaviest load and had spent way too many minutes underwater today. It was exhausting, not to mention the fact that he hadn't stopped to eat anything forever. He didn't know how much more strength he had in him. Still, the presence of the eel was extremely motivating. Alex kicked through the pain and struggled onward. He could see the surface now. Everything was getting lighter. Alex pushed on, wanting to squeal in the pain from the way Copper was gripping his arms. He kept telling himself that as long as she wasn't panicking, he could handle the fingernails digging into his skin. He wished he could grab a helmet for himself. He watched from below with great relief as Crow made it to the surface. Soon the boy was pulled from the water, presumably by two squirrelicorns, eager to finally do something. Sky and Henry were next. Henry's legs disappeared first, and then Sky's. What a relief to know they were safe. Alex knew that Sammy and Lonnie would have to wait for the first pair of squirrelicorns to come back from dropping off Crow. Too bad Simba was still down in the aquarium with Florence. Which had made him wonder. Just how was Simber supposed to pull Florence up to the surface when he could barely propel himself there? He closed his eyes briefly, one more obstacle. He kept kicking. Copper's grip grew even tighter on his arms, until he felt like she was cutting off his circulation. He opened his eyes to the sight of the slithering eel closing in at his feet. Copper had seen it. Alex didn't have time or energy to reassure her. His hope was that the eel wouldn't want anything to do with humans. After all, it had thrown Karina out to sea after it had grabbed her off the ship. In fact, the eel seemed to be pretty strict about collecting only weird sea creatures. Well, and Florence. But here it was, surrounding them, and it didn't look disinterested in the least. Alex kicked faster and watched Lonnie's and Sammy's legs disappear from the water. He was almost there. The eel wouldn't stop circling. Alex wouldn't stop swimming. With a final burst of energy, he shot upward, pushing Copper above him until she reached the surface. He treaded water until he felt her weight being lifted from his arms. He then broke through the air and gasped for air. He wiped the water from his eyes and looked for the squirrelicorns, but they were all retreating, delivering Sam, Heed, Lonnie, and now Copper to the ship. Alex flipped on his back, knowing he shouldn't go back under, and watched the eel, but also knowing if he didn't catch some air for a second, he might die anyway, without the eel having to do anything at all. As he gasped and floated and waited for the first pair of squirrelicorns to return, his body spent and muscles trembling. He felt something wrap itself around his legs. Alex sprang to life, kicking and yelping. "Help!" he cried, hoping it would bring the squirrelicorns faster. He flailed about, just barely sliding out of the eel's grasp again and again, shouting when he could get a breath, until finally the eel rose up out of the water and wrapped around Alex like a kite string around a reel. "Ah!" Alex's yell was cut short by the eel yanking him underwater. Immediately, he sucked in a breath of water, started to choke. The eel squeezed him and slithered around through the water, gaining momentum until it was moving at a maniacal speed. Alex's vision grew hazy, and he couldn't struggle anymore. He tried desperately to hold his breath, but the intake of water messed up everything. Just before he blacked out, a flash of light caught his eye, and this time, it wasn't the eel. Spike Furious. The shiny blue-painted whale with the faux diamond-encrusted spikes shooting out from her forehead came zipping toward Alex and the eel at top speed. Even though she'd been captured by the same eel once before, she was not afraid. She had learned the eel's tricks. Compelled by a voice inside her, she swam at a furious pace, aiming her spike without fear at the enormous electric eel. That voice inside, she'd heard it before, at the beginning of everything. But the voices of the sea had been louder back then, calling her to play. She hadn't been able to resist them. Today in the cage, she heard that voice again, coming from the boy, from the Alex. At the beginning, during the terrible time, the Alex was there, feeling terrible too. It reminded her of something, of someone, of a man very long ago, who remained by her side until the end. And even though it hurt, she felt comfort knowing that the man was there, feeling terrible with her. When she heard that voice, the voice of the Alex, and saw his eyes and understood his words, she believed in him. And when the Alex's personal monster came back to break the cage and set everyone free so they could breathe again, Spike Furious knew that she would want to stay near the Alex forever. The thought made her happy. Now with the Alex in grave danger, there was only one thing Spike could do to stop the bad eel from hurting him and everyone else. She sped toward the giant eel and stabbed her spike into its side. The creature recoiled. The Alex slipped out of its grasp. Spike Furious yanked her spike out of the eel's side, slipped her tail under the boy as he fell lifeless through the water, and lifted his body above the surface to the air, because every creature of the sea knows that the Alexes can't hold their breath as long as whales can. When Spike heard the noises from the ship, she got scared, but when she saw the people on board were smiling and cheering, Spike smiled back and cheered with them as the two creatures of the air picked up the Alex from her tail and brought him to the ship. "Thank you, Spike! You saved Alex!" said the girl at the short fur who had been near the cage with the boy. Spike bobbled in the water, tail and snout sticking up. She licked the girl with the short fur. The whale ducked her head underwater to fill her blowhole so she could speak and repeated, "Thank you, Spike!" And for some reason, just like when she had spoken to the sea monster and the squid and the dead stone woman, it did seem strange. "Oh, you can talk," said the girl. "How excellent! I am Karina. Do you understand what I'm saying?" "Of course I can," Spike said. She blew and water shot up, hitting Karina in the face. Then Karina laughed and wiped her eyes. "Lovely! Alex did an excellent job with you." Spike nodded, somehow knowing this to be true, but not quite knowing how she learned of it. She submerged once more. "Where is the Alex?" "He's here on the deck, coughing up a lunge full of water. Do you hear him? He'll be okay, I think, because you rescued him in time." "It is always good to be in time," Spike said, as if it had just occurred to her. She was learning new things every minute. "Indeed it is." Karina glanced out to sea, a worried look on her face. "I'm wondering if you can do me a favor while we wait for Alex to feel better." "Oh," Spike said, and she closed her eyes as a wave of something passed over her. "You want me to check on the monster with wings?" Again, Spike had no idea how she knew what the Karina wanted, but the knowledge was there. She could feel it, anticipate it. "And the dead stone woman?" "Yes, if it's not too much trouble." "It is not." Spike dove down and barreled through the water like a bullet in the direction of the cage. There was no sign of the eel, she thought with smug satisfaction. On board the ship, Alex felt like he might never stop coughing. As soon as he was able, and despite the outcry of those surrounding him, Alex got to his feet and stumbled over the side of the ship. "Where's Simber?" he demanded. "Has anyone seen him?" For Alex, this scene was all too horribly familiar. Simber lost underwater again. It was unnerving. "Spike is checking on them," Karina said, joining Alex at the railing. "Our whale friend is quite intelligent and seems extra intuitive. She guessed what I was about to ask her." Alex looked at Karina. "She spoke to you?" "Yes. Didn't you make her that way?"
"I did, yes," Alex said, a grin spreading over his face. "I made her able to communicate with all humans and creatures, but I didn't think it would actually work."
She seemed to have no trouble speaking to that long-necked sea monster and the squid, and definitely no problems talking to me. That's a lot already. She calls you the Alex. It's very cute, Karina teased, as if you were her own breed. Alex smiled and shook his head a little, lost in thought. "Can you believe it? I actually made a creature and brought her to life," he murmured. "That's crazy." "And she's fully devoted to you. I don't know what she did to scare that eel off, because when I saw this slimy, evil thing pop out of the water and grab you, I thought it was all over. But then she ran right there, jumping through the air, chasing after you, her body shining, and her spikes sparkling in the sun. She's the most beautiful creature I've ever seen, Alex." Alex, a bit overwhelmed with Spike and still worried about Simber and Florence, couldn't think of anything to say, and then he rolled around remembering. "How's Miss Octavia? Is she okay?"
"She's resting below decks, but we'll think she'll be okay once her body has time to reshape and heal. The eel squished her pretty hard. Luckily, she's flexible. She'll bounce back."
Karina began updates on everyone else. "Copper and Henry have wounds we can treat. Lonnie's already up and about." Karina pointed to Lonnie, who was poring over a wrinkled paper and apparently having a terse discussion with Sam Heed. Karina gazed out over the sea once more. "It's Florence I'm worried about." Alex nodded. "Me too. If I had any energy left, I'd go down there myself, but I'm afraid I've reached my limit on sea breathing for the day, and I'd only have to be rescued again." "None of us, including Simber, would want you to attempt it at this point." They stood side by side, not talking. After a while, Sean joined them, and then Sam Heed came over, leaving Lonnie alone with her precious paper. They stood in stoic silence, hungry, exhausted, aching, waiting, hoping that soon all the questions that plagued them would be answered. When they saw the water rippling in a line toward the ship, they thought at first it was yet another sea creature, but soon they could see the ripples were coming from the tip of a sparkling spike, as well as from two enormous feet sticking slightly out of the water. "It's Florence!" Karina cried. "Spike's got her, see?" She pointed as the whale moved toward them uncharacteristically, slowly yet steadily. Behind him, in an explosion of water, Simber appeared, his wings flapping wildly as soon as they hit the air, bringing him up and out of the water. "Simber!" Alex shouted. The enormous stone cheetah shook in midair, trying to rid itself of the horrible droplets, and then he roared when the spectators laughed at the sight. But the laughs died away when Spike and Florence approached. Spike sidled up the ship with Florence, who was lying on Spike's back just under the surface. Everyone leaned over to get a look at her. Simber, still trying to rid himself of the water, flew over and joined them. Alex looked at Florence. Her face was serene, arms folded over her stomach, eyes closed. She even had a thin ebony eyelashes. Alex hadn't noticed them before. He bit his lip and nodded at Simber. Is she dead? Simber's mouth opened, and then he closed it. He looked away. A wave of cold fear passed through Alex. He turned back to Florence, and then Florence sat up on the whale's back. Ha! She yelled, scaring everybody half to death. Everyone screamed in fright. Simber crapped up, figuratively, of course, roaring with laughter. And before their hearts had stopped pounding, Florence grabbed the side of the ship while Simber touched down on the other side to keep balance. And in a rather undignified manner, with a little shove from Spike, the warrior hefted herself over the ship and rolled nicely to the center, then sat up on the edge of the hole she made earlier and let her legs dangle through the deck below. She looked at Alex, who was still gripping his rope, staring at her. "Now," she said, grinning,
Where did we leave off? And what an enormous grunt left this big hole in your deck! How rude! As everyone caught their breath and Captain Ahab and other statues came running over to see Florence, Spike Furious jumped high into the air, unable to overcome her delight in saving the day. The captain stopped short and stared at Spike, his eyes wide. Spike blew the water from her spout in glee. Ahab clutched his jacket and whispered, "Deceitful eyes! Can you deny this scene before me? The splash and spout reveal her. But bedeckled such? Bejeweled? Nary a white speck upon her!" His face clouded over, and then it cleared. "'Tis the elusive beast disguised!" He shook his fist as Spike resurfaced and jumped again. Trumping water from her blowhole high into the air, Ahab ran to the ship's wheel. "There she blows!" he cried. "There she blows! The great blue whale!"